Well, like I said, today is the first Sunday in the season of Epiphany. It's Epiphany Sunday, even though technically Epiphany was just this past Thursday. And today, as I said, the first Sunday in this season is the day on the church calendar that we call Baptism of the Lord Sunday. Every year, the first Sunday after Epiphany is the day that we read from the Gospels about the baptism of Jesus. Every year, there is this connection that's made for us between those wise men finding the Christ, Christ showing up, being made plain to the world as God in the flesh, and this baptism. The season of Epiphany traditionally is a season to spend reflecting on what it means that God comes in flesh. Traditionally, it's a season to reflect on the deeper meaning of incarnation. Incarnation. Now, there's an SAT vocabulary word for you. We use that word a lot around the seasons of Christmas and Epiphany. Webster's Dictionary defines incarnation in this way. It says, incarnation is the union of divinity with humanity, the embodiment of a deity in some sort of earthly form. Carnis means flesh or a body in the Latin language, and so incarnate means that something has somehow been put into a body. I like the old phrase that we sometimes hear about what we are called to be as Christians, in the world, but not of the world. Remember, Jesus said something a little bit like that in John chapter 17. So another good definition for incarnation might be being very much in the world while at the very same time somehow not being of the world. I'm beginning a new sermon series today that I'm going to be preaching on through Epiphany, and I'm calling it just that, incarnation, in the world, but not of the world. And through this series, I really want to take some time to think with you about the meaning of that, and how far that concept, that truth reaches into our everyday lives. Incarnation, the birth of Jesus, Son of Joseph, is also the birthing of God the Son, Jesus the Christ. The second person of the Trinity, the one that has come to live our lives, feel and be all that it is to be human, and to show us the way. Incarnation is why the four Gospels don't just skip ahead to the Passion and to the Resurrection. Because Jesus' life, his life not just as a normal human, but as the Christ, as Emmanuel, is important, is lived to teach and to show us something that's vital for us. That Jesus is God with us means that we don't have to wonder imaginatively how God would have me live through the difficulties that I face. It means that we don't have to throw up our hands when we read, "Be holy as I am holy," and yell, "What on earth does that mean in real life?" We can examine the life of Jesus together and find out exactly what on earth that means. And so we begin today to explore incarnation, the coming of God in flesh with a mission to be in the world, and to see why it is just as much a part of that mission for God to be not of the world at the very same time. And it begins here with the baptism. Now, most of us have seen or been a part of a baptism before, whether it's our own or whether it's somebody else's. A baptism is very much an in-the-world kind of event. We use normal water. There's nothing special about the water. Sometimes for ceremonial reasons. It's special to have gotten water from the Jordan River to go and be baptized in the Jordan River. But as you know and as I know, that water just happens to be flowing at one moment through the channels of the Jordan. Just previous to that, it came from upstream in the Sea of Galilee. Before that, maybe it came down through many channels flowing down from the mountains. Before that, it was probably in a rain cloud. Before that, maybe it was water droplets that evaporated from the ocean or from the sweat that comes from our very own pores. The water of baptism is part of the worldliness of it. It's part of the in-the-world part of baptism. Sometimes the parents are running late to get their child to the service on time. That's part of the in-the-worldness of baptism as well. Sometimes the pastor forgets to fill the font. Anybody want to check on the font for me? Just kidding. I was at a Baptist church one time, and they had one of those spectacular baptismal fonts up in the front of the sanctuary. It was up so high that everyone could see, and it was a Sunday evening service, and they turned the lights down very dim, and they'd light up the tank from underneath, and it was just a very beautiful ceremony. Those coming for the baptisms that night were clothed in white, and on this particular night, one of them tripped on the steps down into the baptismal font and went all the way under, all the way down, completely sopping wet, came up only to be redunked right back again. When they surfaced again, it was right just the time to go under. And you can imagine, I'm sure, the chuckles throughout the sanctuary. That's part of this in-the-worldness, right? This is a very tangible thing that we do. It's a very worldly, a very material, a very normal event in some ways. And yet it is also not, somehow, at the very same time. One of the key things that happens here in our gospel reading for today is that Jesus, standing there in this very normal water on this very normal day, has a spirit descend like a dove on his shoulders and a voice from heaven say, "This is my son. My son, the beloved." Somehow, this baptism managed to be very much in the world, but also not of the world at the very same time. And I wonder on some level if that isn't the point. That to follow in the footsteps of Jesus into baptism is somehow to open ourselves to being people that are in, but not of, the world as well. Jesus here is in the world. He's wet. His feet are probably muddy, but at the same moment, God says, this is my son. Here, he's in it, but he's not of it, you see. And to be baptized into his baptism is to follow on that path. We come to know that we ourselves have been led with Christ to be very much present to the world that we live in, knowing, though, that this isn't all that there is to it. We keep our eyes and ears open to it, but also beyond it, to where God's voice is speaking, to where God is breaking in. To be in the world and not of it in this baptismal way means learning that there's nothing that's truly or just mundane. Because everything that we see around us, everything and everyone that we encounter are things and people that we encounter as people taught to observe with reference to what God is doing. Today's reading from Isaiah is one of my all-time favorite passages in the Bible. There's a tune that this passage was set to that I heard a long time ago, and I've never been able to find sense, and it just sings in my soul every time I read this passage. I've been trying to track that down for years. He writes, when you pass through these waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. When I hear that passage today, it speaks to me about this sort of incarnational life that baptism calls us into. Because here there are actual waters being talked about that threaten to overwhelm, threaten to drown. There are fires and flames that singe the skin or consume us altogether. And what the Word of God is speaking through this prophet is that on the one hand, it is the in-the-world reality that we live in sometimes. And where would we be in those times if we were not also not of the world? Living in the hands of the God who walks with us through those fires and floods and still says, I am the Lord, your God. I am with you. You are in the world, but not in it alone. Because while you are in it, you're not of it. You're mine. What if those flooding waters are like the waters of baptism in a way? What if those waters are the very thing that initiates us and teaches us how to live on the lookout for where God's hands are stretching out to us? And if that's the case, take me through those waters. You know? Take me through the waters that teach my heart to see where God has an outstretched hand to claim me right here in the midst of the ordinary. Take me through the waters that shake me up only to remind me that God is really and truly walking with me. Take me through the waters that tie my life to Christ's life so that I know that I'm not walking alone, but in the company of a great cloud of witnesses who walk with me, whose names have also been named, who've also been called. One of the great beauties and the mysteries of this thing we call baptism is how it recommissions us right back into life in the world. Life in the world, but not of the world. Life looking beyond to that further horizon and that listens for that deeper voice of God calling and speaking your place and your belovedness. Here in just a little bit, we're going to have a remembrance of our baptism. This is for those of us primarily who have been baptized to feel again those baptismal waters touch our skin and to remember who you are and whose you are in Christ. And it's a call, if you haven't yet been baptized, to consider that God is also calling you to be reborn in these waters, to be in, but yet not of, this world. What a tremendous gift to us, this incarnation, and all of God's people said. Amen. Let's pray.